Love and Like Evangelism, Chapter 19, Continued. Ministering Deliverance. Here are some guidelines for ministering deliverance to those affected by demonic powers. Preliminary preparation in yourself. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, the specific or Rhema word. Begin to build faith in your own heart by reading the New Testament through with a new attitude. Whatever Jesus told his followers to do, you begin to do. Whatever he said he would do, expect him to do it. If he said you can deliver those afflicted by Satan, then expect to see them delivered. If he said to cast out devils, then do it in his name and expect them to obey you. Disregard all the teaching of man and personal experiences you have had. Accept that the New Testament means exactly what it says. Accept it as true and act accordingly. You are an ambassador for Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. An ambassador never doubts that the country he represents will back up its word. Fast and pray before you go to minister deliverance. Since power and authority for deliverance come from God, it is well to be in touch. Some demons will come out only by prayer and fasting. Isaiah chapter 58 teaches that God honors the fast, which focuses on ministering to the needs of others. Preliminary preparation in others. Whenever possible, a team of believers should be used when binding or casting out demons. Jesus sent out his disciples in pairs for this ministry. And he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. Mark chapter 6, verse 7. This does not mean you cannot minister alone to a demonically affected person when you encounter them, but there is strength in unity of prayer with another believer. Since strength comes from unity, those who are joining you in the ministry of deliverance should be similarly prepared with prayer and fasting. In cases of oppression and obsession, such as depression, demonically caused illnesses, etc., prepare the person who is to receive the ministry. They need to have their faith built through the Rhema word of God about deliverance. This may not be possible in the case of possession. If you encourage the demonically affected to be prayed for without proper instruction, it is like encouraging the unsaved to accept Jesus as Savior without knowing who he is, recognizing their sin and need for salvation. When sharing the gospel, a wise soul winner does not press for a decision too quickly. There is preliminary ministry to be done. Proper instruction must be given. The same is true of deliverance. Sometimes God delivers without such instruction. But in ministering deliverance, you want to properly use every channel prescribed by God's word to see the work done. Faith is one channel for God's delivering power, and it comes by hearing God's word, so instruction is important. Jesus combined preaching and teaching with healing and deliverance, and he instructed his followers to do so also. The place for ministry. Ministry of deliverance to those affected by demonic powers can be done during a regular part of the church service. Such ministry need not be confined only to private sessions. It is a valid ministry of the church. Jesus ministered to the demon-possessed as part of a regular church service. Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. However, it is not necessary to wait until a regular service to deal with demonic powers. Jesus brought deliverance when and wherever they were encountered. The time of ministry. When you are ready to minister deliverance, 1. Begin with worship and praise. We enter his presence, where there is deliverance and healing, through worship and praise. Deliverance can come through worship and praise, even without ministry by prayer, because God inhabits the praises of his people. When we praise, he is present to heal and deliver. 2. Create an environment of faith. You already started to do this when you ministered the word on deliverance, but you may also need to take additional steps to create an environment of faith. Unbelief hindered even the ministry of Jesus in Nazareth. Sometimes Jesus put unbelievers out when he ministered. Mark chapter 5, verses 35 through 40. Other times he led people out of their village, an environment of unbelief, in order to minister to them. Mark chapter 8, verse 23. On occasion, as God leads, you may need to ask those struggling with unbelief, fear, etc., to leave. Pray first. Ask for wisdom and discernment before you begin to minister deliverance. During prayer, God may reveal to you a word of knowledge, specific facts and information about a person or condition so you will know how to pray. A word of knowledge can include a deep sense of knowing or an impression in your spirit, thoughts, words, or feelings. The word of knowledge may reveal what the sickness is or why the person has the condition. A scripture verse. The Rhema word for that situation, condition, person, or group. A vision. Pictures in the mind's eye pertaining to the one whom you are ministering to. Words of faith. Special words of encouragement and faith specifically for that individual. A special anointing. A sudden infusion of power, perhaps felt as a tingling, heat, or supernatural confidence. A special act of faith that if the person will perform, will be delivered. 4. Conduct a brief interview. This is not required. It is optional and should be done according to the leading of the Lord. God may give you specific words of wisdom about the person's condition and you will not need to interview. But if God does not supernaturally reveal something to you, do not hesitate to use the interview. Jesus used both natural and supernatural methods. On occasions, he discerned people's conditions by the Holy Spirit. At other times, he asked them what they wanted and how long they had been afflicted. An interview helps you gain information so you can pray more specifically. It also helps you determine if the person needs further instruction before you pray. Jesus often did this. He asked people questions concerning their faith and then dealt with negative forces of unbelief before ministering. Study the following examples. Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. Jesus questions the demonized man. Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 26. Questioning the blind man. Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 27. A boy with an evil spirit. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. Questioning blind Bartimaeus. Ask the person, what is the problem? Speaking a request for prayer is important. Jesus delivered many who came to him, making known their need. The request is in itself an act of faith that can set in motion the healing processes. James chapter 5, verses 14 through 15. Ask for a specific statement. You need only brief facts. You do not need the complete history or a life story. Do not try to psychoanalyze the information you are given. Your function is to minister deliverance. Some unique cases may require privacy and more time for counseling with a trained counselor. Have counselors available for this purpose. Ask the person who is to be prayed for, do you believe Jesus can deliver you? If they answer positively, then ask, do you believe Jesus will do it now? If the answer is no to either of these questions, further instruction from God's word is needed. When you are ministering to a large crowd, you will not be able to talk to each person. God may reveal to you specific demonically caused conditions of people in the audience, or may lead you to pray specific prayers for individuals. If you are ministering deliverance in a crowd, it is best to train others to minister along with you rather than doing all the ministering yourself. The commission of Jesus was that these signs would follow them that believe, not him. The work of the ministry was to be through the body, not just one or two lone believers or evangelists. 5. Determine the specific problem. Use the information from the interview and/or the wisdom God gives you to determine if the problem is in the spiritual realm, problems related to sin. These require ministry of spiritual healing, salvation, repentance, and forgiveness of sin. Physical realm, bodily sickness caused by demonic spirits of infirmity. Emotional realm, problems concerning anxiety, fear, anger, bitterness, resentment, guilt, doubt, failure, jealousy, selfishness, confusion, frustration, perfectionism in the energy of the flesh, unforgiveness, past situations. This is often called inner healing, but the term has been abused. It is not necessary to go back through a rehearsal of the facts and emotions. It is not necessary to spend weeks, months, years to recover from such traumas. If you do this, you are trying to heal the old person instead of helping them become a new creation in Christ. Problems in the emotional realm are often related to the social realm of a person's life. For example, they affect and stem from family and social relationships. Deliverance comes through identifying, asking forgiveness, and forgiving the other parties involved. The greatest barrier to emotional healing is usually forgiveness. So emotional healing includes the healing of social relationships. We are called to be ministers of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. Reconciliation includes both with God and man, and this is where emotional, mental, or inner healing comes in. All similar titles for, in essence, the same thing. You may need to instruct the person in forgiveness. It is not justifying someone else's wrongs, which they have done. For example, they were under a lot of pressure. Denying we were hurt in the first place. Accepting with resignation what was done to you. Waiting for time to heal the hurt. True forgiveness comes by recognizing what was done to you was wrong, the result of sinful men in a sinful world. Confessing the hurt to God and asking Him to heal the harmful emotions, example, hate, bitterness, etc. You may not ever forget the fact of the incident. What you are in need of is healing for the wrong emotions relating to it. Asking God to help you forgive others involved, then forgiving even as Christ forgives you. Recognize that God extends forgiveness to you as you forgive others. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. The person may also need to forgive themselves, example, guilt over their own wrongdoing, and will definitely need to pray for emotional healing. Acknowledge the sin causing guilt and/or sinful emotions, confess it to God, and repent. Ask Him to forgive your sin and heal your emotions. Recognize when God forgives, He forgets. He casts our sins as far as the east is from the west. Claim 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 9, and Romans chapter 8, verse 1. By an act of your own will, release yourself from condemnation. Control future thought patterns by casting down vain imaginations and forgetting those things behind. Mental realm. Problems stemming from negative thinking, attacks of Satan on the mind, mental retardation. Remember, because man is a triune being, problems in one realm affect the whole person. As you minister, deal with the whole person, not just one area. Man is body, soul, and spirit. Wholeness implies dealing with all of these. 6. Determine whether it is time to pray. Determine whether or not it is time to pray the healing prayer. In most cases, you will pray, but in some, do not be surprised if the Lord directs you not to pray or to delay prayer. Jesus delayed healing in the case of the Syrophoenician woman's daughter and Lazarus. He did not do many works at all in Nazareth because of unbelief. The Lord may also direct you to delay until further instruction is given. For example, they may need to deal with a sin problem, need more instruction on deliverance, etc. 7. Pray the prayer of deliverance. pray a prayer of deliverance which focuses on the specific problem of demonic influence which you have identified. You do not have to persuade God to deliverance by your prayer. Just as salvation is already available, the same is true of deliverance. Just as salvation is based on the condition of faith, so is deliverance. God wants to deliver, just as he wants to save. Although the power of God is sometimes present in a special way for deliverance, Luke chapter 5, verse 17, you can still pray without a special anointing to do so, because Jesus commanded you to do so, just as he told you to spread the gospel. Use others to help you minister if you are in a group setting. There is multiplication of spiritual power when more people are praying. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. Body ministry discourages individuals who experience success in a deliverance and those who receive it from giving glory to man. Jesus taught that first you should bind the enemy, then you can exercise power over him. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? Matthew chapter 12, verse 29. If demonic powers are binding in oppression from the outside, pray for their hold to be loosed and their powers to be bound. For example, Jesus loosed the woman in the synagogue from the spirit of infirmity. She was not possessed, but oppressed. A casting out was not necessary. In cases of demonic possession, you have the authority to cast demons out in the name of Jesus. It is not authority in your own power or ability, but in his name. It is important to use the name of Jesus in the actual prayer of casting out the demon. Faith, fasting, and prayer are necessary to cast out demons. Read the account in Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 through 21. This is why preliminary preparation is encouraged in these areas. The Word of God, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the blood of Jesus, Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, and the power of the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and chapter 2, verse 38, are also tools for deliverance God has given you. Yelling and screaming at the demons is not necessary. It is your authority in the name of Jesus that causes them to come out, not the volume of your voice during the prayer of deliverance. Always forbid the demons to re-enter. This is an important part of the prayer of deliverance. When Jesus saw the people come running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him." Mark chapter 9, verse 25. Do not spend time talking with a demon, should it manifest itself through spoken words. Jesus rebuked demons and told them to be quiet. Luke chapter 4, verses 34 through 35. Remember that any conversation with demons is dangerous because there are lying spirits. The Holy Spirit will direct you in the prayer of deliverance, but if you are new to this ministry, here is a sample prayer pattern to study. In the name of Jesus Christ, and on the basis of the authority of his power, his word, his blood, and the Holy Spirit. This establishes the power base for deliverance. I bind you. Jesus taught to bind the strong man first before attempting to cast him out. And I command you. Ministering deliverance is a prayer of authority, not of entreaty. You can speak quietly, but you must take authority over the forces of evil in the name of Jesus. Look directly into the eyes of the person as you speak. The spirit of blank, or you foul spirit of Satan. If the spirit has been identified either through spiritual or natural discernment, then name it specifically, otherwise generally. To depart. This is the casting out process. Without harming, blank, the name of the person being delivered, or anyone in this house, and without causing noise or disturbance. Sometimes the demon will try to harm the person or create disturbance. I forbid you to re-enter this person. Remember that Jesus used this command. And I loose the Holy Spirit to fill this person with the cleansing, delivering power of the blood of Jesus. We are told to loose as well as bind. If you have identified a specific spirit at work, loose the opposite spirit. For example, bind the spirit of pride and loose the spirit of humility. Do not make a show of such ministry and try to attract crowds with it. When Jesus saw the actions of a demon attracting a crowd, he immediately stopped the performance being staged by the evil spirit and cast it out. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. Mark chapter 9, verse 25. Do not attempt to cast demons into hell. Jesus and his disciples did not do this. We have authority only to bind, loose, and cast out. There is a set time for the final judgment of demons in the future. The demon said to Jesus, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Matthew chapter 8, verse 29. Prayer for those affected by demons can be done with or without the laying on of hands. Jesus used the laying on of hands to minister to the woman oppressed with the spirit of infirmity in Luke chapter 13, verses 11 through 13. In other cases, he did not lay on hands, but simply spoke to the demons. Luke chapter 9, verse 42. 8. Praise God for the answer. Follow prayer with praise to God for deliverance. Remember that in the biblical example of the 10 lepers, all were healed, but only the one who returned to praise was made whole. Praise by faith and not by sight. You have done what God's word said to do. Believe he has done what he said he would do, and thank him for it. Recognizing signs of deliverance. In cases of demonic possession, sometimes the demons come out with a struggle, such as crying out or throwing the person on the floor. When demons have departed, whether in possession or oppression, there will be a sense of release, joy, like the lifting of a weight. Providing follow-up care. After deliverance, those who have been possessed by demons should be led in a prayer of confession, repentance, and renouncing any sins or involvements connected with the demonic activities. If the person has any occult items, for example, idols, voodoo items, witchcraft equipment, etc., these should be destroyed. Additional follow-up care is very important for those delivered from demonic possession. When a demon is cast out, he will seek another body through which to operate. Jesus taught that the departure of evil spirits leaves an empty place. There is danger of a demon returning to his former victim, accompanied by worse spirits. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest. And finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him 7 other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Luke chapter 11, verses 24 through 26. When a demon is cast out, it is restless and discontent outside of a human body. It is only by indwelling and controlling a human life that a demon is able to fulfill Satan's evil purposes. This is why casting the demon out is not enough. The spiritual house must be filled by the new birth experience and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Follow-up counseling and ministry is necessary. The person should be immersed in the Word of God and prayer and become part of a community of believers. Those experiencing deliverance from demonic powers also should be encouraged to give their testimony. Jesus told the demoniac of Gadarene, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis, 10 cities, how great things Jesus had done for him and all men did marvel. Mark chapter 5, verses 19 through 20. Protection from demonic powers. There are specific ways to protect yourself from the activities of demonic powers. The most important protection is to receive Jesus Christ as Savior, because demons cannot possess a true born-again believer. Keep yourself from sin, for through sin you give place to the devil. You actually provide opportunity for him to use demonic activities of oppression against you. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Demonic spirits and the Spirit of God cannot inhabit the same spiritual vessel. Avoid an obsessive interest in demons. It is not wrong to study what God's Word says about them, or courses such as this one, which are based on God's Word. But do not read secular books, attend seances, etc., to learn more about demons. Avoid any contact with the occult. Do not consult witches, shamans, astrologers, horoscopes, card, palm, or tea leaf readers. Do not serve false gods or allow idols to come into your home. The graven images of their gods you shall burn with fire. You shall not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it for yourself, lest you be ensnared by it, for it is an abomination to the Lord your God. Neither shall you bring an abomination, or an idol, into your house, lest you become an accursed thing like it. But you shall utterly detest and abhor it, for it is an accursed thing. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 25 through 26, the Amplified Version. It is important to control your mind, your tongue, and select your associates carefully. It is also important to gain victory over the world and the flesh, and wage both defensive and offensive warfare against demonic powers.